remember that?
I want to make sure.
He was kind of the one heading.
She says you're on.
Ron? Call boy. To order the meeting of the Commerce, Gaming, and Lands Committee of Osage Nation, April 3rd, time is 2:45. Could we have a roll call?
Speaker Pratt?
I'll see.
Congresswoman Pegler?
Here.
Congressman Baker?
Here.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Supermoff?
Here. All right, declare we have a quorum. Congressman Hamilton, would you like to give us an afternoon prayer, please?
Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, we come to ask you to be in our heart and minds, we come together for our Osage people. Please be with the families who are in sick and mourning, who are dealing with the loss of a loved one. Please be with our men and women in uniform, wherever they may be. All these things I ask in your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you, Otto. Next item, business approval of the minutes of April the 2nd.
Move to approve the minutes as presented.
Motion made to approve, we have a second.
Second.
Motion made in second, approve the minutes, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? All right, motion, minutes are approved. Out of the business of the discussion with Paul Grass LLC and Osage LLC. I'd like to discuss as much as possible in open session because the public has a keen interest in what's happening with these LLCs. So, Jim, would you like to join us up here at the table and whoever else you want? And we'd like to open a discussion on the status of these companies.
Sure. Do you want to have a seat at the table?
Whatever you prefer, but anybody else on the board can sit up here with us.
Call cannot be completed if dialed. Please consult your directory and call.
Okay.
I don't know whether it does or not. Jim?
Hi, Jim.
Jim, do you have a PowerPoint?
Yes, we do. We've got a PowerPoint. Janice has the.
I have the power of the clicker.
The power of the clicker.
Yes, she's got the clicker. Oh, no, that's all right. Wait a minute.
Please enter your authorization code.
Just turn it on and take it to the.
Who's trying to listen in?
David Conrad wanted to call in.
David Conrad is right there.
Right there.
Oh. I was told to call him. I was doing that.
Well, Jim, I'm just going to turn the meeting over to you at this time and you go far as far as you can and open the session.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We have handouts to the committee members.
Now, these are what we have is most confidential.
Right.
Well, I think we have two.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a slideshow, and then we have one more confidential.
All right.
Right?
This one here.
Okay. All right. Well, Osage LLC and Tallgrass have prepared an annual report that we'd like to present today initially, and then we'll get into comments regarding a proposed loan arrangement that we're trying to work through. At this time, I just want to go back a little bit into 2017 and talk about how far we've come with the changes in the board and with changes in the management that have evolved that many of you know about and have witnessed very closely what we have gone through and the different hurdles that we've had to overcome. We've had a number of new players. I'd like to just, I know you know these people, but I want to introduce the board. We have Ms. Kay Bills, we have Ms. Patsy Stuckey, and Ms. Kay Martin, and Megan Cruz that are all here from the board today with me. And then we are accompanied also by Liz Cook and also Jeff O'Brien, who are consultants that work with us, and Dustin Alpin and Tony Whitehorn will be here speaking as well today. We have come through a lot, an evolution of several changes in our staff that have resulted in what I believe have been some really badly needed improvements to our management team and some very strong consulting advice that we've had from Liz Cook and Jeff O'Brien. We have been able to deal with some pretty adverse conditions that were in place in the fall related to Fort Leonard Wood that have been hit head-on by Kelly Corbin, who was put in as the acting CEO back on November 1st. And at that point, Kelly began to bring on new staff and hire additional people. We also added Finley and Cook to become financial consultants for the board, and that helped us to be able to get the help that we needed to review the preparation of the financial statements and assist in the monthly reviews of our bank statements and reconciliation of them. And then we've also added a new CEO in just about a month ago that once Kelly stepped down for health reasons, we had Janice Dearman, who came over from Cherokee Nation Businesses and has worked long and hard. I talked to some of you may know, a former treasurer and CFO for the Cherokee Nation years ago, and I called some former board members and a chairman that I know that of committees there at the tribe, and they all spoke very highly of Janice and the work that she did there for the nation at Cherokee. And I, from everything I've been able to find out from friends of mine, she's a top drawer candidate for CEO and has done a terrific job for Cherokee Nation, and I'm looking forward to working with her here at the Osage Nation. I think we're lucky to have her with her background in government contracting, and I think she has added a whole new dimension to our leadership here at the company. But more importantly, she's the first really, I think, the best qualified individual that we've had in the CEO position since the company was formed in 2008. It's something that I believe is going to position us to do a lot better due diligence, to have a better relationship with the Small Business Administration, and to make sure that we have really somebody that is an expert on SBA regulations and practices and knows how to do this right. In the past, we have suffered through many CEOs that just weren't familiar with the Small Business Administration, the 8A regulations, and that has cost us dearly with some of the mistakes that were made in the past. The other thing is that we have a board that has been nominated by the chief and confirmed by this body and by the Congress. That is, our board is for the first time made up of all Osage trouble members. And I think it's been a pleasure to work with these people, and that I'm very impressed with the caliber of people that we have on the board today, and want to thank them for all their hard work. This is not easy, and it's something that we're facing hurdles with financial problems that are facing us today, and we know that we need to have your support, and that we're going to talk today a little bit about the background of the business plans that we have for 2018, and about the challenges that are facing us financially, and about some of the hurdles that we've got to overcome and we'd like to have your assistance with. So I'd like to turn it over right now to Janice and her team to come and speak about that.
Thank you very much for allowing us to come and speak with you today. I think one of the things I first want to talk about is this the staff that we have at Tallgrass and Osage. I want to thank Mr. Parrish for the comments that he's made. I have spent a lot of time with Cherokee Nation Industries and Cherokee Nation businesses learning about government contracting. It's not something that you can go to college and get a degree in. A lot of it has to do with experience, longevity in the program, and then just a lot of self-training, attending a lot of conferences and a lot of different types of experiences and working with contracting officers and government agencies. Dustin Alphen, as Mr. Parrish noted, oversees our construction company. He has a lot of experience in construction and in with other tribes as well. And he's going to talk about his projects that he's working on right now. One of the things that I asked them to do is to go over their project so you could kind of see the breadth of activities that we're working on. I would say that none of them are what you would call large construction projects. We're not doing $50 or $100 million construction projects. That wouldn't be what we could do right at this time. But we are working our way up, getting through some of the projects that we have had to deal with, and then getting our past performance back into the right lane. Tony Wyborn covers our technology. He has obviously some familiarity with the 8A program, starting out early. We're covering some services contracts. Those are very, I think, good contracts for tribal companies to get into, because usually they're a little bit lower risk. They're a lower margin, or you make less profit on services, but they're a very good option to grow your companies in. We have Elaine Height. I have listed as a facility security officer. Excuse me. And why I listed that is because one of our contracts in OIS is a contract that requires a secret clearance. When you are in government contracting, if you can get three things, that becomes very important to your ability to work in government contracting. That's 8A, hub zone, and a clearance. If you have those kind of magic three, that opens up a lot of doors for you. And what we're doing right now is we are expecting, based on some phone calls from Fort Leonard Wood, from their security office, we were expecting our interim clearance, because I have a current top secret clearance and Elaine has a secret. We're expecting to be granted an interim clearance. I would have thought the end of this week or last week. The government, of course, never does things in the time frame that you expect, but we expect to hear that soon. And we're constantly checking on that, because the project has got to the point that they're going to have to get into either the area or to the materials that require that particular clearance. We also have a CPA for our controller, and she's an Osage citizen. The thing that you have to understand when you're going into government contracting is the accounting process is different than what you have if you're just in general accounting. There are a lot of regulations in government contracting, and part of those are about how you want to segregate your cost, how you want cost pools. So to give you a good idea of, you know, how you're expending your money or how you're expending the government's money. Because it is, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the government to spend that correctly, just as we have one to you itself. We also have listed kind of our vendors and our consultants, and Mr. Parrish has introduced two of those that have been very valuable in getting some of our operational things, because we are such a small staff right now, getting some operations and then some business development. And in if you're looking at how we're going to grow, most of that has to be in business development. And as I tell them, everybody in the office is a business development person, from the person who answers the phone up to mine, because a lot of it is about keeping your current customer happy. We have two existing companies, and I'm sure you're all well aware of those. Osage Technology Services has been an 8A since 2012, and construction has been since 2013. Those are getting into the later lifespans of the 8A program, and so what we need to start looking at is, you know, how are we going to start expanding the companies? What 8A companies are we looking at? The company had already created last year a couple of companies in civil and environmental, and Tallgrass Support Services. One was intended to be construction in one particular area, and then support services for the other. We're also looking at how, you know, what have we done so far that maybe we can even look at a different category altogether. You're always wanting to look at what's my next 8A going to be, you know, how am I going to grow this? Because one of the things is, if you only have one or two 8A companies, you're really not going to generate the revenue that you really need. You're going to have to, that's done in volume. A volume of contracts, in this particular case, volume in your number of 8A companies. It's really, you have to keep them, I would say, churning out, if that's not quite the right word, but that's really, you always have to look at, if I'm going to have one this year, you know, is it growing so fast that I'm going to have another one in another year, or maybe I can spread them out a couple of years. So you always have to have that forward-thinking projections on how you're going to stand those companies up, what you're going to put into them. It's a constant process. What we're looking at for the companies is, you know, how are we going to get these companies moving forward? How are we going to get them to grow? One of the things that I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit more about is the capital to finance the current cash flow, because I'm sure you're all aware that there's a cash flow issue, and there has been for quite some time with these companies. The other thing, I don't believe there's probably been any activity in looking at how you're going to keep your pipeline flowing, how are you going to get those contractual, because you just can't rest on the contracts you have right now. You have to look at how you're going to go after those new opportunities. One of those ways is to look at who can I partner with, and I think my point has always been, what ethical and experienced partners can we go with, because your partner takes you into those areas that you've not been into, and they bolster your lack of capacity or capability. So you really have to vet those partners well, and that may be one of the things that we've been lax on. And the other is, even if they're your partner, how are you, the company, going to perform the required percentage of work that you have to with any of these set-asides, whether it's an 8A or a hub zone, or even an Indian Incentive Act contract, you still have to perform your percentage of work. One of the things that we've talked about is we're going to look at moving the business out of the area that we're in right now and finding either someplace with the tribe owns to reduce our rent, or find a lower based rent area to use. I believe we have hopefully found a leaseor for the Oklahoma City office. The agent contacted us last week and thought she would have somebody, and she was supposed to let us know today or tomorrow, and we hope that's been successful, and that will eliminate one of the cost areas. And of course, we're always going to continue looking at how can we cut costs. We're also going to look at how can we, you know, bring on more employees that we can use in our contracts in order to bring more of that revenue back to us and less to our subcontractors. And the most important thing that I think that we have to look at is, how are we going to submit realistic and profitable bids on the work? Because a lot of the time what happens is that you don't send out and you don't get your bids from your subcontractors, and therefore you're not really sure of what it's going to cost you. And you may bid it, you know, at $2 million and it ends up costing you $3 million, and that's not any way to run this particular business. What I'd like to do next is my two operating managers are going to talk about their particular areas, and like I said, they're going to kind of tell you about some of the things we're working on, and so you can see how what the company is currently doing now, so you can see how we can take and grow that into the future.
Dustin, you have the power to click the
one inside the
calendar.
Just put some arrow. I think that's just going to sit there. That's just going to be the next one.
Okay. Good afternoon.
My name is Dustin. So my objective is just to give a brief overview of all our construction projects, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to address them. So at Fort Leonard, we have two projects. One is confined spaces, and the other one is the training towers. Both those, by the end of today, should be around 90%, and they're planned to be done by the end of this week, substantially complete. At Tinker, we have two contract mechanisms. One is the SATOC, the Single Award Task Order project. That's the newest one that we had received back in August. And we currently have 10 projects underneath it, and we have two projects that are in the proposal phase. So the first nine projects, we should be done with all those by June. It's been a fight to get those back on track. We're completely behind. We had about 80 submittals that we had to get caught up on. I talked with the contracting officer yesterday, and actually she had given a good recommendation as far as how we've changed 180 degrees from where we're at before. She told me that they have an intent to renew our next option year based on the current improvements that we've made. So all 10 projects are now actively started. And then the two new projects that they gave us, I assume that they gave us based on the progress that we're making. So under the POCA, we currently have four remaining projects under that contract mechanism. That contract actually expired last year, and so we're just completing the remainder of these projects. And we're working through phases right now to get those wrapped up. The last of those projects should be done in September. And then we just submitted another project that is not a part of those contract mechanisms. It's a furniture fixture package, and it's for the KC-46A air handler. And so that's another project. So collectively, we have 17 projects on the board and three projects in the proposal phase. Does anybody have any questions or any specifics that they'd like me to address? If not, I can turn it over to Tony.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to see you all today and be here with everybody. On the Fort Leonard Wood projects we currently have two contracts we're operating under now. We have the existing G6 contract. We currently have 10 employees on that contract that are Tallgrass employees. Tallgrass maintains the government IT and AV systems to ensure continuity of service, provide upgrade system requirements to ensure system integrity and compliance on that facility. We support approximately 7,400 computers, 80 servers, 50 switches, 335 printers, 968 projectors, 419 monitors. This is a very big learning college for the military, for the Army. We are the IT support for all the soldiers there in the field. They bring their laptops. It's a very large classroom facility that our people, our employees, we have a 30-minute response time on a 64,000 acre base. So we have a good project. We have good people that work for us up in that area. The next project we have up there is the Battle Labs simulator. We currently have two people in that contract operating at this time. We support the simulation service for there are basically 206 computers on that, 9 servers, 29 switches. It's a virtual training facility for all the warfighters. Our people that work for Tallgrass help design the systems. They design the IT simulation system, the war systems, and it's a very fun contract. It's one that we require a secret clearance on. Ms. Dierman alluded to that earlier, that we're in the process of getting our interim secret clearance. That is it's very vital to this portion of this project, as well as the IT side to grow. Another little project we had at Fort Leonard Wood was the Commanding General's Conference Room. We upgraded AV features there within the conference room. It was a nice little project. We completed that in 3 days with our vendor. There were, because it was 8-day IT, there was a certain percentage of labor that Tallgrass had to comply with. So myself, as well as our Richard Gay, were up there while we were doing that project. So it was a very good project. I think we earned a lot of credibility with the KO, because we were actually there they were surprised that the prime contractors were actually there on site during the project. So it was a really good thing for us. The next thing we have up there is the Osage Casino projects. Currently, we are the AV integrator for the Osage new casino in North Tulsa. We're going to install roughly 300 speakers within the casino floor. We're installing all the TVs, AV system, pulling cable. I mean, it's a very large project that has gone from just the casino itself to different areas within it, the hospitality suites, the parking garage. We are the AV integrator for that whole project. We recently submitted a bid today for the event center portion for the AV side. We also were kind of tasked to take over the fire alarm side on this project. We are handling that with our contractor that we're using. We submitted that bid for the event center as well. And we also received the bid to do the parking garage for the fire alarm system as well. This has been a really good project for Tallgrass because this is a non-8A project. So as Ms. Dearman alluded to earlier as well, that there are certain numbers that we have to meet within our mix of that non-8A work as we grow further and further in years. So these projects help Tallgrass meet those requirements. And the last thing up there are the broadband projects. They seem like when I first started here, these were kind of way out there that everybody kept thinking, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. This is kind of how it felt to me. We received the first the award in May of 17. We didn't get some of the information that we needed to take care of. We did that. We resolved that situation. We got those funds released with the aid of the tribe as well for their matching funds. And we also just recently received the Bowering portion of this project. So we'll have both of these projects going at the same time, which sounds challenging and daunting, but I think it gives us a better advantage as far as finding contractors to come in and give us better pricing on a larger type project. So both of these projects in scope are going to be combined right around close to 70 miles of fiber that we'll lay. We've already been in contact with the Gray Horse five-man board and village. We've verified where they want the actual community center for the Gray Horse facility. We've identified the cell tower sites. We've worked with the tribe's real estate department on identifying if lands are tribally owned or individually owned. Fortunately, the sites that we're looking at, the tribe owns, and one lies within the ranch. The other cell tower will be in the Gray Horse Village itself. We are working with them to establish lots or take over those lots for this project through the real estate department. The other tower that's going to be out west will be sitting on another individual tribal member's land. So I felt like that was a positive thing. So if we do secure the tribal member's land, that it will be all into the tribe's jurisdiction because it's tribal property and property the tribe owns. So that's pretty exciting. And we have just received the award letter for the Bowering project. And so we will get more documentations on what's required for them to release funds and give us the go-ahead to go ahead with that project. We have a very solid engineer who is helping lead our project with a gentleman named James Lightfoot. He's done these projects before. He has brought us some very good contractors who have done these USDA grants before, these type of projects. So everything's coming together really well at this point, it feels like. There's always stuff to do with this project, so we're probably going to start looking for some of the stuff we're doing with Bowering. I know Bowering was so excited when they first heard about this that they set aside a place up in their school for the community center, so it's already established in Bowering. So there'll be some co-location there as far as towers go, as well as some other individual tower sites. The one thing that I'm going to ask or kind of let me know is we're going to need some office space because we're going to have a storefront facility, because at the end of this project, it's ours. We own it. We have to make it profitable. So we're going to need some storefront space here in Pawhuska because we're going to head out of Pawhuska both directions. And so we'll need an office up here that will have where our offices will be, where we'll do all of our sales. Our customer will call in here. So this is just something in the future, real near future, that we're going to need. So that's some other stuff that we'll talk with the executive on as well, just trying to identify some potential spots the tribe may have that we could look at to utilize it. So it's a pretty interesting project. It's very exciting. If you look at the fiber maps for all the broadband, all the fiber that goes across Oklahoma, everybody goes around Osage County. And so right now, by the forethought of the I would say the tribe, the Congress, the executive, the people who put this together, that we're going to build our own network, and we're going to build it out. Building this will be the easy part. Making it profitable on the other side will be the tough part, but we can do it. We've got some good people lined up to work with us on that side of it, and feel pretty excited about it. So it's a big project, but it's not too big. So we have good people that we're working with on it. So that's kind of all that we've got going right now. We're trying to find other work as we speak, and we want to try and grow this business and continue to grow. And if there's any questions, I'd answer them. If not, thank you for your time. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Tony, I wondered if you could elaborate a little bit, you and Janice, on the top secret clearance process we're going through and how that's going to enhance our ability to get some really good work here in the future.
Generally, the secret process, if you're having to have an employee or a company, which they're kind of go together, it takes probably 300 days to get a secret one. It takes 400 some odd to get a top secret. So that means there's not a lot of companies that have this particular designation. So it really is, even though you can't use it like in your marketing material, it is a selling point when you're out talking to the government agencies. Because there's always areas where they need employees who are cleared. Usually they have the incumbent employees who are working there, but they need a company itself in order to take over those particular contracts. Jeff?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you have anything to add to that? About the how our secret clearance would increase our marketing, our contracting capability?
Well, I think the key thing to keep in mind is that you have the two types, like Janice pointed out, Tony, you got two types of clearance. You have the personal clearance, which every member of an organization potentially could have, and then the facilities clearance. So you can't get the work without the facilities clearance, but you can't, the government won't give you one until you have it, a contract that allows you to get it. So when you go out and market, you can't specifically say, hey, look, we're looking for a contract that will afford us the opportunity to get a secret clearance, because the government's going to tell you that, well, you can't have that until you're awarded one. So once we actually have a secret facility clearance, because the top secret, as Janice said, it's 400 to 500 days to get a top secret. The key is just to get that initial one, like we're in the process of doing, and we're almost there. I mean, right now, the interim secret is probably within the next 30 days or so. So once we get that, then we can actually potentially go out and see these agencies and organizations that have a need for it and try to fill that gap that they've got. Because, again, when they want to award one, it's hard because you have to go to the same group of people, because the process to get one just takes way too long. So I think it'll be very, very beneficial long-term and in the near future for us once we actually have it. Plus, it puts us in compliance with the federal government on the contract that we currently have that has a facility clearance requirement. So.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. I just think that other tribes that I've worked with, this, when you get to that level, when you get to the top secret security clearance and you've got that, it opens up a whole nother world of contracting that is available to you and a very small group, probably, of contractors that can meet that requirement. It really enhances your ability to make more money and to have profitable contracts that really, it kind of builds on itself, and you just keep building those relationships with other federal agencies and adding more work to it. And I think we're on the verge of jumping into that market, and it's going to make a huge difference, I think, in what we're doing. So, Janice.
I might add one thing, because I got a call 2 weeks ago from the security officer there at Fort Leonard Wood. And he said he'd had a discussion with DSS, and he just wanted to call and ask one question, which was, do the K&P, which are key management personnel, which would be the operating general manager for OIS, do they have an existing clearance? And I said, I've had my top secret within the last 2 years, and my facility security officer has her secret within the last 2 years. He said, okay, that's all I need to know. That's how you move, because otherwise, you would have to have your key management personnel would have to apply for their clearances, and once again, you're looking at, you know, 300 or more days depending on the level. I think that's it.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe this should be directed to Tony. Tony?
Yes.
On this broadband, where's the revenue?
Well, the revenue is going to be on the other side of it when we're operating and actually providing the internet services. There are some, we're going to be providing internet services for the Gray Horse area. We'll be able to provide wireless broadband there in Pawhuska. I think we feel like we'll be able to provide a better service, a faster speed in those areas to sell it to customers the way the project's set up. Eventually, growing down the line, we're going to try and scale this so we'd actually be able to, as we're going through the town and building it, we're going to scale it so we can actually probably potentially come back and light the town, where we'd actually do fiber drops to all the homes. To see this grow, we're going to have to provide our own cable service, our own phone service to do that, to make this profitable. Our next area that we're looking at for this potential next round of funding is the Pawhuska area. We also need to go down towards the Skytook area to get tied in with Cox or somebody down there who has fiber close to there. So we're potentially looking going down towards Barnesdall and Avan. There's just different things to provide services and things. I mean, we're going to have to be able to provide cable service and go that sometime in the future. This is not something that's going to happen tonight or tomorrow, but in the future for growth and how we want to sustain this, that's going to have to kind of be where we go. We're just going to have to build the backbone out and make things run as well as we can by providing those services right now that we initially set up in the grant.
Have you done any survey to see if there's enough subscribers to maintain this thing, and at what price? I mean,
based on the business plan that was submitted, it looked like the prices were $45, $55, and maybe $65 based on the speed at which those people would get. I don't have it right in front of me, but those seem like the numbers. I know 45 is the bottom number just for the internet services. So it seemed to look profitable. It's not going to be a huge thing because of the population size and just because of what we're actually only able to provide here at the beginning. As we bring on those other services, we should become more profitable in the future, but it should take care of itself and be self-sustaining after that first year.
Until it is profitable and self-sustaining, is there going to be a gap between when the grant runs out and you come to us needing money?
Well, the way the grant's structured, it seems like the first year or two, those positions will be paid. The positions that we have in there for tech, customer service, marketing stuff, that's going to be taken care of. So that should give us time to build up the cash flow we're going to need to take care of that project. That's always kind of been the goal. The goal is not to come back ever, but that's my goal. Our goal is to make it a profitable deal, watching our costs, getting the best bang for our buck. I think there's just a lot of opportunities once we have this fiber and this network set up within the Osage that gives us an opportunity to truly make some very good money off of this type of project. The key to this whole project, and the experts and people that I have talked with and had meetings with, if we can get this next leg built down towards Barnesdall and Avan area, if we can get connected to the fiber there, the beauty of that is it actually allows Bartlesville, gives them an opportunity for true redundancy. There is no true redundancy in Bartlesville. All the fiber in the world is running up and down Highway 75. But you go up one fiber and you come back on the same fiber and you're going to be in the same pipe. So if somebody were to sold that to them as they have true redundancy, if something were to happen to that pipe or fiber, they don't. This allows us to be able to market, since we're going to Bowering, we're going to be really close to Bartlesville. We've spoke with other companies up in that area that would like to try and get to us. Mark Kirk has been great to work with on this project. He has been, for me, I'm going to say a godsend, just to be honest about this project. But that, you know, the people that we've talked to would like to tie into us, so we would create a true triangle and give Bartlesville true redundancy, which would make this very marketable. Everyone that I've talked to said, if we get that side built out, that is where we'll be the most profitable. just on that, selling fiber to people and giving them true redundancy. So that's when we met and discussed where we're going to go next with the grant. That is where we're going to shoot for. But the reason people haven't built this out is because they have to put their own dollars into this, and the return on investments for larger companies is not there. But if we're able to do this with grant funding, the way the tribe has set this up, it makes it a very viable project that we're not having to come up with this $3 million to build each one of these phases of this project. There's been a new thing that happened within this grant recently. They're going to start doing it on a rolling basis every for the next for quite a while now. So after every 90 days, if you're able to submit a proposal, they'll be looking at it. So I think it gives us an opportunity that came out in the Federal Register about it. So there's some really good opportunities with this, but for us to do what we have to do now, we're going to sell service in the Gray Horse area in Fairfax. Then that's how we're going to have to do it. There's money in the grant to operate on for at least a year that was put in there. The way things are budgeted, we're just going to have to be tight, watch our money, and do good work. And so that's just kind of how we're going to have to do it at first, and hopefully grow into the future. Gain some valuable experience and expand to offer more services. I think if we're able to do that here in Pawhuska, very profitable. Very profitable. Yes, sir.
The utility authority wanted to present to us, but I'm just wondering that since this has been launched, what involvement are they going to have from here on?
I can't answer that. I know we work with them establishing where these grants are going. I'm just supposed to build it and run it. I can't tell you. But I know they have been helpful. Paul Beemore has been very helpful working with us, helping us decide where we want to take this project and look at it. They're supportive of it. But it's a tremendous opportunity for the nation to do this project.
Once it's launched, I guess they'll be regulating it, won't they?
Yes, I'm sure they would be.
Anybody else got any questions? John,
Yeah, sounds real good. What's the cost to maintain that type of system per year, like technicians or?
Technicians are going to be mostly switch-oriented for the servers where we're going to be at. There will be some house people. I think we have about, seems like our marketing person is going to be somewhere in the $40,000 to $50,000 range. The technicians are going to be somewhere between the $60,000 to $80,000 range, depending on their skill set and what we need. We don't have a lot of people plugged in for this grant. There might be just three or four positions at the most that we're going to have in there. This is not going to be a very heavy labor burdensome type of effort at the beginning. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tony, I was just going to say, have you done any research on what other tribes in remote areas where broadband has been put in, how they've rolled out other complementary services?
I know that's one thing that Paul Beemore has been very instrumental in bringing to the nation. On the Utility Authority Board, he was out in Navajo and has that. He brought his, we're talking to their, the partner they have, their business partner. I'm sorry, the name eludes me at this point, but I know they've been talking to them about helping us on the back end of this as far as how we provide the service, bring service to homes. The billing aspect of it, customer service aspect of it. So I know there have been discussions about that, but the name just eludes me at this point.
Good. I have a question, Cuggy.
What is it?
Cuggy.
Oh, RJ Walker.
So, how many cable drop customer potentials are there in Gray Horse and Bowery? And it seems interesting that the federal government would provide a grant for funding to areas where the profit potential is the least.
Every community, I can't think of the number off the top of my head that's in the study, but I will tell you, every resident at Gray Horse is eligible to get a fiber drop in their house. They're going to have to pay for the service, but they will get a fiber drop to their house.
How big of a footprint is it around Gray Horse?
Just the Gray Horse Village itself will actually get the actual fiber to the house.
Okay.
To get the drops to their house. Everything else will be wireless. We're able to generate about a 10-mile radius around each tower, providing service. They assure me that we are using the latest, greatest technology to help avoid the line of sight type of issues that may come in with trees and things like that. They're telling us we're able to increase or decrease the wavelength of what we're sending out to avoid some of that situation. But as far as numbers, I mean, I think there's, was 28, that's one of the number I want to say, but don't hold me to it. It's just the number that comes to my head when
in
I think
Gray
about
Horse.
In the Gray Horse area. Yeah.
More than that in Bowery?
I wouldn't think so. The last time I looked at Bowery on Google Earth, there just wasn't a lot there. So we'll be up there this coming week and checking that out and going with it. The opportunities, I think, for us to look at this and something that we've talked about is during the dances, we'll probably provide a service over a Gray Horse where, like, you know, when you go to a hotel or whatever, you have to pay so much for high-speed internet or Wi-Fi access. We're going to offer that over there because if you go over to Gray Horse during the dance, there's no service. So we're going to scale that tower over there to provide service, and we'll allow people, you know, that want to get on Facebook, post pictures and tweets, whatever, check their emails. They'll be able to do that for a fee over there. So that's one thing that we've talked about. What's that number that people would pay for that service? The same thing, we probably looked at that because Kewell Lake or whatever, right there, just outside of Bowring, there's a large campground here. We're probably going to offer the same type of thing where people are up there, they're camping. Out on the lake, we're going to offer them probably the same deal where they can log in on their phones, offer Wi-Fi access through our high-speed internet. So we're looking at that as a way to help offset some of the revenue for Bowring. It's interesting to me that they'll do this, but this is the only way they can make it happen. I know there is a large push on the federal government to bring high-speed internet to rural areas. There is, let's say the number was $600 billion. I think that was the number that was just recently kicked out that they're trying to put out into rural broadband access. So those are just some of the ways we've looked at maybe trying to make this thing pay for itself. That would be less labor-intensive, less cost for us to do it. But it's just, it is interesting to me. That's my biggest fear is running this. I mean, because of the numbers. It's a numbers game. And so that's why we're looking for a part of the next grant to be Pawhuska to light the area in conjunction with something for the village. But this will all is just going to keep growing Tallgrass broadband. Whatever we add, it's just going to all keep going into the Tallgrass broadband pot. We're not going to try and make Bowering be a standalone. It's going to be one company that stands on its own.
So will Tallgrass Broadband sell wireless? I mean, will it, with the power receptors, is that?
At some point, what we plan to do is offer to AT&T, Verizon, see if they would like to hang radio heads, pay us rent for that. That's another thing we've looked at. There's an initiative called, I always get them, there's OneNet or FirstNet. Got them twisted right now. But they're supposed to provide for first responders, it's FirstNet. FirstNet for first responders to a certain bandwidth, they have, AT&T's got the contract to provide 99% uptime for the whole United States. In Oklahoma, they're starting in the Northeast and coming down. So Mark and myself, we've tried to contact the AT&T engineer over that project to look at hanging radio heads on our cell tower sites. So we can generate the revenue from rent off of that, leasing that space to them, as well as we'll get with the other cell service providers to look at that. I don't know if that's something that we would ever look into. I won't say never, no, never say never. But as far as something that I think the cable, high-speed internet with the fiber network and ground, that makes sense. I don't know if we can compete on wireless.
So it's going to have to be extensions of the cable.
Exactly.
And just a couple of weeks ago in the USA Today, I saw 5G's making a big push now with the stuff on the telephone poles or the utility
Absolutely.
Poles around town. I mean, is that a concern? Is that just technology?
It's just technology evolving, growing. That's I mean, we need to do the best we can to get this bill catch up and stay ahead of the curve and move, follow the growth of this industry. And I think we're capable of doing that. But it's getting ready to get real interesting. I know we're developing the RFPs that should go out for all of our folks. We're going to break that down into four areas. The first area will be the cell towers, the fiber installation, the community building, and the generator facility for it. So each one of those will probably go out at the end of this month. Hopefully we'll hear back. What month is it? June, July, mid-July. We start ready to actually start moving on this project. We've talked to the city about, I guess the utility services handles all their poles, because we're going to need to use poles going out of town, out of Pawhuska. So there's so many moving pieces that we do our best to stay ahead of it. But it's, we're fortunate to have the grant funding, or us, this isn't a viable project.
Do I have another question about the, I was encouraged to hear that Tallgrass has the contract for the Gray Horse and Bowring projects. How competitive was that contracting process? How did that play out?
It's a grant with USDA. And then when we'll start bidding all that out to subs after that. The way it was set up, if we were to actually self-perform the service, we would only be able to get reimbursed our actual costs. So we'll probably sub some things out. We'll probably set some up things out where we can possibly generate some revenue. If we're one layer removed, we should be able to earn revenue off of it based on our discussion with USDA about how this grant is done. So we would have to go through the bidding process if we set something up to do that. But our main focus is getting this built right with the right people. And we have about three or four people that, well, we've only met with two of them so far, just to discuss what their company's capabilities are with our engineer. So it's moving along as best it can.
This is tell how far along we're involved in, but how did Tallgrass, how were they awarded the contract?
I think the tribe applied for it, but Tallgrass that needed a vehicle that it could put it into that could do this the way the grant's set up. So that's kind of that's how it wound up at Tallgrass.
The utility authority had said that their
28A
company was
good. They needed a place.
Congresswoman Edwards has a question behind her there.
I'm not sure this is directed to Tony, but I'm trying to figure out, I need a big, broad picture response, I guess, from the chair. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm looking at here. Is this document the annual plan of operation for the calendar year 2018, or is it amendment from the previous year's plan of operation, or is it a fiscal year plan? Help me out.
This is a...
We're
going over the PowerPoint right now.
Broadband.
I understand what you're...
Well, I know, but I...
It's an annual report. That's what it's titled, annual report.
Yes.
On the other document that
okay.
we have.
Overview
yes,
of annual report.
2018 annual
so
report, and we haven't gotten there yet.
Do we have the annual plan? Because in this annual, the reason I ask is because in this annual report, and I wanted to ask questions when some of the other people presented, is there is goals for the year. You tell me when it's appropriate to find out about this, but there are goals for the year that include loans and long-term loans and things like that. And when are we going to answer questions about those? Because this isn't in... It's not an executive session. It's not marked confidential. So, you tell me when it's my time to ask these questions, and I will.
That part is marked confidential.
No.
I've got there at C8 20 in the corner. Or is this the cover page?
It was noted by the clerk that this right here is confidential. This is not. So, what he started out with is. Give us an overview of Tallgrass. And that's where we are right now.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what we're hearing. So as I understand it now, we're hearing the annual report.
No, we're hearing an overview of the status of Tallgrass and their
okay, so
right
we haven't
now.
Gotten to this
that's
yet. We haven't gotten to this yet.
No.
Okay.
But I'll let you know soon.
Let me know when we get to this.
All right. Tony, we'll release you in a minute, I think. Has anybody got any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That didn't
thank
say
you all.
I just had a comment.
Oh. Yeah,
but not to him. It's just a comment about the broadband project.
Doesn't say anything about it.
We did. We were presented the broadband project by Utility Authority Board initially, and that was several years back.
couple years back.
I remember it being exciting. It was exciting.
It was an exciting, it's an exciting, right, it was an exciting presentation, and I think that we all knew at the time that it was a rural community grant. I think that I remember that we appropriated the matching fund to the grant, matching fund, quite possibly, or we just left it in the general fund of the treasury, because I think at the initial onset of the application for the grant, they hadn't worked out in the executive or with our LLCs who exactly was going to be that company to execute this grant. And so I think once we passed, this body passed the legislation to for the matching grant fund, that was worked out between the executive utility authority board where this project lay, and that was probably 2.5 years ago. I don't think we designated that as a congressional body. I just so it was a collaboration between the executive branch and our LLCs.
Thank you. Is anybody else got any comments? We can make an open session. And I'd like to ask one question. Is Janice Deering going to stay on as CEO?
Well, I let Ms. Deering answer that herself.
Ms. Deering, I'd like to ask you that.
I discussed it with the board. One of the things that my concerns were if, and I don't know if this should be addressed in the executive session or not, because of what I'm going to discuss, but the board and I did discuss that this morning.
Okay, we can put that off. Anybody else got any comments to make? Any member of the board? Hey, Bills.
Yes, thank you. By golly, it's been almost a year since I stood in front of you, right? And I remember telling you that I was really concerned. You remember I've been in this contracting community for a long time, so I pretty much thought I knew what was going on. Much to my surprise, I didn't know anything. It was not even clear to me even the last few months of how devastatingly close that we were to defaulting. Today, I come in front of you to tell you that I have some apologies to make. First of all, I apologize to our board chairman for pushing and prodding and prodding and keeping him up at night wondering how to control me. I seem to have lost the confidence of our chief and others. We've been notified that the chief is not going to allow any money to continue. This was just this afternoon on this board. So therefore, I'm here to get my resignation, and it will be as soon as this session's end, within 24 hours. I've lost the confidence of my chief. I do not have the confidence of my board members. You have seen a comeback kid with these guys that you just looked at. They took contracts that were in the ditch. They turned them around. They made them work. They're getting good ratings. I don't know what else you could expect, but you know this is cattle country, and you know what? If you've got a cow out there, you got to feed it. You got to feed it until it's ready for market. This company is ready to market, and we're getting ready to be pushed aside. That's not right. There's been too much blood and sweat and tears. I didn't have to take this position. I was asked to do it 3 different times before I said yes. I'm here. I'm anxious to see that broadband grant because I'm going to fiber right to my house, and I'm going to be learning how to sell it. My board president said that I would be better off going somewhere else. I agree with him. We have apologies to make to my friends Kay Martin and Pat Stoop, who I convinced to come on this board because I felt that there was things that we could do together. It's been a Humpty Dumpty. It's been pasted back together, and yet we're going to be put out to say no money. You have no idea what the worry is. When you can't make a payroll, when you can't pay your vendors. I have a list over here, almost $700,000 of bills we have to pay. And we're saying, well, can you wait till May? Can you wait till June? Can you keep asking these people to sacrifice their time and energy? No. They have performed over and above. For God's sakes, Tony took that thing out of the ditch and made it work. That's not easy. You've got Dustin Alpin, who spent weekends and weeks begging the government. They gave us a do-over. We get a do-over from our government. We don't get a do-over from our chief. We don't get a do-over from the doubters. I have not one doubt in my mind that this is the best crew you've ever had. And they have performed over and above. But I can't help them. I cannot help them to find out that we're going to have to be coming back, pushed back. That's not right. I'll still be here, but I think this, I'm just hungry to get on with what we could have been. I've seen this before, and there's no way that you can place blame on any of these people, nor on Janice. She's very much at risk, because when we default, no one seems to understand the consequences of what happens. When you close this door, the government says, don't come back to Teeker. Don't come back to Fort Leonard Wood. That's it. I don't care what attorney tells you differently. This is a very personal game. You have contracting officers who are going to be devastated. They helped us get through this. The bonding company will help you. The bank. We had this done. You didn't have to see me. We took our only asset and we liquidated it. And we fought against it. So, ladies and gentlemen, my apologies. I just could not do it for you. And I'm very, very sad. I've had a long career, and I've seen this happen before. And I don't want to be told that we failed, because we didn't fail. We were failed. So it's been a pleasure. I have a lot of things to do, make Mr. Parris's life a lot easier. And that's what I had to say. I will stay on because I'm on signature on some. I will stay until they, Mr. Chairman, you haven't had a chance to find another board member. You need that. The chief can appoint someone else. He has perfect right to do that. You can even get him confirmed before the end of the session. I can get off of the bank accounts and do the other things that need to be done. But this is a good company, and they've been basically thrown under the bus.
Thank you, Ms. Bill. Let's see. Are we ready to go on to executive session?
Yeah.
I think most of us here are all swimming in the same puddle, so I don't know if anybody needs to leave. Are we all board members or involved in the ones, whatever you call it, they can stay.
I don't think so. I think that it should be just there for one to talk to us first. That's just my opinion.
Well, we've had one member committee that just wants to talk to the board first. So,
well,
I don't know where y'all were going to go. What do you suggest?
Well, we are going to be talking about our business plan for the LLC in Tallgrass. I think it would be appropriate for the board. I would request that we have a private session with you all to talk through our plans and some of the, because there's some debate still ongoing, and I think we need to explain some about the proposed loan situation that we're working through and trying to explain our financial picture. So I would request that we meet with you in an executive session with the board.
What can we, where can everybody go while they're waiting? Is that all upstairs?
We can take it upstairs, or we can have this room.
The people in executive, sorry, I don't know how many people that is.
How many of us has an office upstairs? We could call them back.
Mm-hmm.
if we, if the committee goes up with the board, are you set up to record up there?
We can take a recorder up there.
That might be more convenient than asking everybody else to leave.
Yeah.
So.
Take about a 5 minute or whatever time you need to.
Is that the law of the committee?
Yes.
Okay. We recess now, and we're going to go up in this room up there where we meet sometimes. Then we come back down. Y'all can stay in here for.
Do we need to make the motion to do that right now while we're still on?
Kevin, you want us to make it on the executive session right now before we recess?
Yeah, but he's saying to go up there. Do we have to make the motion before we come off?
Right now?
So I move to enter into executive session.
For the purpose of confidential?
For the purpose of confidential proprietary matters with the Tallgrass.
Second.
Motion made second to go into executive session.
So we have to do it while we're recording, and then we can recess to go up there.
How many people, how many girls do we need up there? Because right now there's